do you have, or could you describe a meaningful or favorite failure? And by that, I mean anything that seemed like a failure at the time or was a failure that was particularly valuable for you looking back, or that set you up in some fashion for later success. Does anything come to mind?
Did you say favorite failure? Did you say that?
Those are the words I used, yes.
Failing sucks. It's painful. I mean,
it is.
I don't know if I'd use the word favorite.
Yeah, yeah. Meaningful.
Most insightful.
Insightful. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we can definitely re-label it however you like, but
yeah,
in effect.
I say that whimsically partly because I really hate losing. I'm intensely.
Also something common for quite a few members of the PayPal mafia.
Yeah, which, you know, has its downsides, obviously. So, you know, one of the things we talk about in our partnership is the sins of commission and the sins of omission. And the sins of commission is we made an investment we shouldn't have. And the sins of omission are the ones you didn't but should have. And I've probably made 6-7 investments in my career already that literally went to zero. And I don't think I should really highlight any of them because, you know, we made a good try. The founders were great, didn't quite work out, and it was valiant. We did what we could. I will tell you that the first time I had an investment that went to zero was a $10 million complete write-off. I literally cried in our partner meeting because I had such an immense sense of shame and guilt for having failed and for having lost money for our limited partners. And it was an important moment, partly because the senior partners at Sequoia, I think part of what we do well as a team, part of our longevity is the way that we help each other. And so senior partners who had gone through this themselves were there to support me and to, you know, guide me through this. Because the danger in the business is if you've had an experience like that is you recoil and you become very careful and you'll never get back to the glory days. Maybe like an athlete who has a severe injury and they never want to test that knee again, you know, because they had a bad knee injury or something. They'll never attain what they had in the past. So that to me was a very painful experience. But the ones that really sting are the ones we should have made. And I think back to meeting Jack when he was at Twitter. Met him and Ev, and we had an opportunity to invest in the Series A at Twitter. This was in 2007. So this was before the iPhone was released. There was no Twitter app. This was text messaging, different business. And I just didn't dream enough. I failed to imagine what might happen with a service like this. And that was incredibly painful for me. And we missed the A, and we missed the B, and we missed the C. And that was a huge lesson for me. And I, you know, sometimes you can explain away an investment you didn't make by saying, well, ex ante were those same facts. Would you make the same decision today or not? Because obviously ex post, you should have made the investment. But ex ante, you know, sometimes things just, you know, they're weird twists and turns on the road to company building. And so maybe you could justify that the Series A was, you know, a bit more random because it took a lot from there to where they were in, say, 2010. But by 2010, we should have looked at it and reevaluated our decision. And that I feel really guilty for. That was terrible. I really, really messed up for not revisiting assumptions.
What did you learn from that in terms of things that you discounted that you shouldn't have, things that were invisible that you should have made visible? I'm wondering what you carry forward from that.
The two things are imagination, dreaming, sitting back for a second and saying, and my partner Mike Moritz often hammers this home for us in our partner meetings when he was part of the team full time, was, you know, what if it goes right? Because we can all, you know, we're in the business of investing. We're not in the business of not investing. So assume for a second it goes right. What could you imagine this being? Just imagine for a second, instead of, you know, it's the pre-parade exercise in some sense. Just put on your thinking caps. I remember being in a meeting with Mike and Max Levchin and Jeremy Stoppelman when Yelp was an idea. An idea in 2005. And Mike in a meeting said, I imagine a future where there are Yelp stickers outside restaurants. I mean, that was an amazing insight, an amazing vision for the future, which came to be true. And so I'm always reminded about the need for imagination in our business, the need to be naive at some level. If you become a curmudgeon in the venture business, you're done. You need to be naive. You need to dream. So that's the one. The second one is learning a little bit from behavioral economics of the need to revisit your assumptions. So I was really stuck in a sunk cost fallacy where I'd made a decision to, you know, my recommendation was for us to not invest. Wrong decision. So let's dig my head into the ground and hide and just keep saying we shouldn't invest, because why admit that I was wrong? And so you need to be able to revisit your decision and admit you were wrong. So we got the Series A at Square wrong, and we corrected it. And we paid up for the Series B, and I helped lead the investment, and I had to swallow my pride. I'm sorry, team. I should have recommended it 9 months ago. My bad. Now we're paying a high price for the investment, but I still believe in it, and I think there's huge upside. And psychologically, that's a very difficult thing for people to do. And so we want to create that kind of safety for us in our investment team.